This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back, boys and girls, for yet again another special edition of the Michael Deacon program. I'll be joined by a very, very special guest by the name of Mr. Robert Stanley in just a moment here. He is the author of Close Encounters on Capitol Hill and Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. Robert has traveled to more than 50 countries during his lifelong pursuit of modern and ancient mysteries. Robert's quest for unique ideas and information has led him to research and report on many controversial topics. His work has been featured on radio, print, television, and of course, the World Wide Web. Now, without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Robert Stanley. And join me right now, not live in real time, recorded, but we are live in your hearts. Join me right now is Mr. Robert Stanley. How's it going, Robert?
Good, Michael. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. I hope you're doing well and all is good over here in Southern California. And that, of course, that really depends on where you live.
Yeah, well, I'm in Southern Florida, but I was born and raised in Southern California, so I'm kind of missing it. Because when it's good, it's great, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I don't mind the earthquakes, fires, and floods, and drought.
That's right.
That's yeah, you don't miss seasons. That.
Exactly. And, of course, the rolling blackouts that we have out here.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's getting worse, huh?
It's getting pretty bad, and that happened during a live show a few weeks ago now.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened. I thought, oh, great, the invasion is happening finally.
Yeah.
But there is some truth to that. I mean, we have talked about a sort of global episode where the power goes out and the internet goes down, everything.
Yeah, the 3 days of darkness, some people call that. And I mean, it's a very interesting scenario. Obviously, we'll never know until we get there. If, in fact, it happens, I kind of hope it doesn't. The thing is, we got to live our lives day by day, and instead of worrying about what may come, I mean, I do prep, but come on, man, I can't just live my life constantly, you know, fearing the worst is yet to come. It can be very debilitating.
It can be very exhausting.
Yeah, emotionally and physically. Yeah,
that's right. And you said you were a prepper of sorts. Does that mean you have the whole prepackaged food going on?
Yeah,
things that taste like cardboard.
Well, I mean, some of them do, and others are a little better. But yeah, I mean, if you're really hungry, anything tastes good. Because I mean, if you fast for a couple of days, or
yeah,
and then
that's
you
true.
Eat something, it just enhances the flavor. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, anything definitely does taste better when you're starving, and even food that doesn't really have much flavor, like certain MREs out there, that's what we're referring to, they sometimes taste awful, and I've tasted quite a few of them.
Well, I couldn't say that I'm a connoisseur, but...
Yeah, right. Yeah, why would you?
Well, no, because this stuff... So my wife and I bought this incrementally, some of these things, and yeah, you got to try it to see if it's any good before you buy a quantity of it.
Yeah, I feel like most people out there probably don't, and they spend all kinds of money in this, and once something finally bad happens and they get that chance to eat that, yeah they're not going to be too happy.
Well, the other thing is you got to have water and or water filtrations, and it's endless. The stuff that you need supposedly to survive in a crisis like that is, I don't know that anybody's ever fully going to be prepared for something like that. I don't think I would be. But, you know, if it makes you feel better right now, fine. But if it's only adding to the paranoia, this is the thing, talk radio, a lot of talk radio.
Yeah.
You got gold, guns, and dried food and all that stuff.
Right.
And it can only take you so far. And that's why I wrote this article, The Art of Spiritual Warfare.
Right.
And it's not, hold on a sec. It's not my idea. Oh, God, I'm losing my voice. Hold on.
Oh, no. Have you been yelling?
I probably should be yelling a lot more than I do.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, spiritual warfare is a lot of people talk about it. You know, it's a spiritual battle we're in. And I agree, but I'm not sure that they fully understand the details. And unless you've been there, the thing is, we're all on the battlefield, but we don't know it because we can't see it. And I believe that's by design. So one of the things that I have in that article is a link to a book about spiritual warfare. And the reason I even found that was I was listening to an interview with a man who's deceased now named Tom Horn. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners know who he is, but I don't really follow his work that closely. I mean, I know who he is, but I heard him talking about a scenario that he experienced that was so similar to what I experienced in Malibu back in September 1985 when that boy ran into a sliding glass door, damn near bled to death. Tom Horn describes in this book, Spiritual Warfare, how he was at a church meeting, and afterwards they went out to the parking lot, and this woman came up, a young lady came up to him, and in his opinion, she looked a little nuts, and he said she looked like she was on drugs. All right. And he wasn't really in a mood for it. I think he was tired or something, whatever. He just kind of wasn't too happy about the fact that she was insisting that he come to across the parking lot to where her boyfriend was sitting in the car. Apparently the boyfriend had been, even though he was really very drugged out, was muttering the directions on how to get to this church parking lot while she was driving. And he didn't get out of the car, but she did. And she went over and apparently knew to go directly to Tom Horn and tell him, you got to help my boyfriend. So Tom's there with a group of people from the church, and now they're all curious. So they walk over to the car. Tom opens the door, looks at the man. He's got blood splattered on his face. He's really a mess. And I think he said something like he felt like there was a real darkness. Before he even opened the door, he could just feel there was something wrong. And it scared him, and he said something like, Christ, help me, or something to the effect of that. I forget the exact words, but it was really interesting because when he touched the man and said, can I help you? The man was clearly possessed and said he was going to kill Tom. Well, I mean, and now at this point, Tom had already backed up and was literally, he wanted to run. He said, but before he could even imagine that himself run, and where are you going to run to? But in a parking lot. I believe this is in the daytime too. He didn't say this, but I mean, obviously it was clear enough. Everybody could see everybody as well as going on, because what happened next is just nuts. The man got out of the car and was yelling at Tom, I'm going to kill you, man of God, or something, whatever he said.
Man of God.
Yeah, I think it was that. And he sprinted toward, as he's sprinting towards Tom, he hits something that was invisible to everyone there and literally collapsed on the ground. He ran headfirst into something that, like a wall or a door, something. And it just, and he just fell. He just fell hard, like bounced backwards and fell on the ground. And that's when they thought, the group of them started, you know, like a group exorcism for this guy. And eventually the demon was cast out, and he, you know, he became saved. Right now, I know people can say, hey, that's religious. Are you promoting religion? No, I'm just saying, I'm not the only one that has experienced something like this. And it is a spiritual battle between good and evil. And we here in this plane are oftentimes ignorant of it because we can't see it. And they, the, obviously, the fallen ones don't want us to know what they're doing or why. So, again, when I heard it, I only caught part of it. Then I looked up his book, and A Spiritual Warfare and Invisible Invasion, and I read that chapter, and I was like, man, I know that's real because I've experienced it. Maybe not exactly the way he did, but it was very, so similar. It just freaked me out because I thought, well, they're never going to give up, you know, clearly. Oh, and the other thing was he gives a lot of examples throughout history of cities within nations that have been captured and controlled by the dark side, these principalities and powers of the air that are, again, mostly invisible, but all they have to do is possess or puppet the so-called leadership, and most everybody will fall into line. So the examples were very stark, and I can't imagine, you can't just make up history. Of course, it's his opinion of how things went or why, but he specifically said America has a problem in general, that, you know, our cities have been hijacked. I guess I think we call them blue cities right now.
Right.
You know, typically you see the crime rate has gone astronomical, and the lies too. It's just, so basically the dark side is they lie, cheat, steal, and kill because they have a need for energy, a dark energy that is emitted by our DNA when we hurt ourselves or others. So they're constantly manipulating us. And I wrote this first article called The Art of Spiritual Warfare and gave people resources to be able to better understand how this is playing out. Then I realized, because I have such an incredible database of stuff, that I needed to write a follow-up article called The Art of Psychological Warfare, because you don't have to kinetically do anything. I mean, you don't have to shoot somebody in order. If you can control their thoughts, that's probably the best thing, you know, as far as warfare is concerned. So I'm writing that today. What is today? Thursday.
I
know this is recorded, but Thursday, March 14th. I'm adding to my Substack, robertstanley.substack.com, I think. I don't know. Sorry. Let's see. I don't dial it up myself. What does it say here on the address? Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. That's Substack.
Yeah, robertstanley.substack.com. So the top one is going to be The Art of Physical War, excuse me, The Art of Spiritual Warfare. Second one will be The Art of Psychological Warfare. And then the third one is going to be The Art of Physical Warfare. And if you think you know everything about war, you better think again. I have some stuff that is going to absolutely boggle your brain. I'm not proud of the fact that for some reason, I get I get the privilege of putting it out there. but, you know, somebody's got to do it. I'm not the only one. I'm just saying it's, for some reason, I have this knack or gift or whatever for editing information in a way that's I distill it down a little bit, but also give you the opportunity to go as deep as you want. And I try not to get too judgmental or personal about it. I'm just putting the information out there.
Yeah, I understand that. But that's always good to put your personal opinions in there as well. As long as you let the reader know that, you know, this is how you distinguish some more, I guess you could say, subjective sort of facts, and then, you know, put your two cents in there. Maybe that might be the proper ingredient of doing this. Who knows? But the Invisible Invasion by Thomas Horne. Great book, by the way. I had heard about it, yes.
Yeah, oh, wow.
I read it quite a bit ago. This first was released, I think, back in like 1998. And I remember reading.
Yeah, it's not new.
Yeah, it's not a new book at all, but quite relevant here in 2024 still to this day. And there's some good things in there. Of course, Chapter 4, The Victor's Master Weapons, is always a pretty interesting read. And yeah, I know this isn't exactly a Christian show. Most people out there listening to this know that already. And I myself am not a Christian. Robert, I don't really think you consider yourself a Christian either, though.
I don't really, like, I'm not religious, period.
Yeah.
I know all about religion. I consider myself to be a spiritual person or soul, whatever. But the problem with religion is that it's it can be hijacked or has been.
Right.
And this whole thing about, like, for example, all the factions of Islam or Judaism or Christianity, and that they literally are at odds with each other. And as I told you before, this is kind of my theme going forward, is everything here is all about separation from source and from others and from self. And it has grown from something, a rather simple idea or a concept or experiment, to something that is now extremely complex and unsustainable. So we can't solve all the problems in the world now, just sitting here talking about it. But I do feel that knowing about a problem is the first step towards solving it.
That's true. You're right about that. You are definitely right about that, Robert. And yes, if anybody wants to read that book, I mean, you've also offered a link there, by the way, anyway, to read this PDF, or you could just buy the book. I'm sure there's a few places out there if you want the hardback cover. I'm sure you could find the copy quite easily.
Yeah, that's the thing. All these PDFs that I put up, I found on the internet. I don't make them myself, but if they're out there already, I'm just giving you links to the files, and also links to, like Michael's saying, you can go to Amazon and get any of these books. Usually they're still in print. And I know most people don't read, especially books that are nonfiction, but I do. I
mean, they'll hear the audio version.
Yeah. Okay.
That always works. That too. Yeah.
Yeah. In any case, I'm sure that's why talk radio is so popular, because most people don't read, and or specifically, they don't analyze the situation. They want to be told what's going on or what somebody thinks. And it's just easier to kind of piggyback on that. I know that, like, some people have written to me and said, well, back in 2017, you said this and on this show and or whatever. And I'm like, right. Well, thank goodness I was able to grow beyond that. Why don't you ask me where I'm at now? I mean, I appreciate people writing to me, but they need to keep up, I guess, or if they can't, don't judge me by what I said or wrote years ago, because obviously I keep evolving, or hopefully learning, and have a clearer understanding about the context of things and how it relates to all of us, not just me.
That's right. And there was a weird synchronicity between us before I even booked you on the program. You know, you had written this article, Robert.
Oh my God.
And as I was preparing a bit of a banner here for us, you know, I thought maybe I should use a very popular sort of a picture from, you know, the movie They Live. And then I look at your article and you're using the same reference.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun.
Well, yeah, that's even before you asked me.
Exactly.
To come on the show again. Yeah, we were obviously thinking on the same wavelength about movies like that, a mass awakening of to the blindness of humanity, and how that left us vulnerable to manipulation by these entities. In the movie, they look, I don't know what those things are, like a zombie apocalypse. It just creepy, supposedly aliens, but they look just like us. They live among us. And yet, if you can really see what they look like, it's very hideous. It's like a living dead.
Yeah, these are like parasites of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't send you that book. There you go again, Michael. The next installment, psychological, The Art of Psychological Warfare, actually, maybe I did send you this book. This is Your Brain on Parasites?
I don't believe you have.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
All right. Yeah, I was talking with Niche about something offline, and she said something about parasites. So for some reason, I don't know. I ended, like I said, this happens. I'm like a lightning rod. When keyword searching just leads me to the most incredible downloads. And literally, I found it for a reason. I know it's out there in the public domain, but when you start to collect certain things and combine them with other things, there's a synergistic effect. And again, most people have no idea the level of manipulation that parasites have, not only in the body, but especially in the brain, not just humans, but we know it affects all kinds of life forms. It literally hijacked the nervous system or whatever and caused cravings and other crazy behavior in the host. Okay, so anyway, This is Your Brain on Parasites. What's the subtitle? Sorry.
No worries.
How Tiny Creatures Manipulate Our Behavior and Shape Society. Okay, so this is not a small book as far as the impact. I mean, it's an easy read, but it's like scary because the implications are just mind-boggling, literally. Because you're looking at, it's basically like a mirror. You're saying, oh, wait, if I have parasites, they're causing me to do what?
Right. And that's usually referred to as, I guess you could say, the voices in my head or mm-hmm. just these thoughts, basically. Yep. Yeah. And people give into that, you know, and they do what the voices say in their head.
Right.
Which is not healthy to do. You should never really act initially on your first reaction, either emotionally or spiritually, some would say.
Or physically, too.
Or physically,
like,
right.
I'm craving alcohol or ice cream or cigarettes, whatever. Those cravings, yes, typically are coming from
somewhere else, right?
Yeah, something else, and it's usually in us or around us. And that's the thing, again, what I saw,
my God,
was a spiritual parasite feeding on this boy and his grandparents, and which I interrupted, not knowing the consequences of that. But I mean, again, I'm not the only one. Clearly, a lot of people like Tom Horn and others that we all have experienced the same thing and kind of describe it in the same way, similarly. The thing is trying to unravel it too, because obviously they are masters of manipulation covertly. And even when you catch them at it, they don't want to admit it, obviously. You know, this is the thing that, especially politicians, they will actually pretend to be ignorant in order to deflect blame or not take responsibility for their behavior. It's pretty mind-boggling just to think that some person could actually live with themselves. Obviously, they don't feel guilt or emotion. We could call them psychopaths, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means they've lost their empathy. And to me, that is an illness because it's not normal. It's not healthy.
Right. Lots of them make moves that they don't really believe is going to impact X, Y, and Z, in other words.
Well, they're in denial, obviously. And that's another thing that the parasites are really good at is blinding us. Okay, so in the first article, one of the things I showed there is a diagram. I've done this before, but it's in case people don't know, we only see a fraction of the known spectrum of light.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know what the exact percentage is, but it's like, let's just say 3%. Just sort of like what they say, oh, we only use 3% of our brain. Well, we can only use 3% of our vision. The rest of it is beyond our range of visions. Our hearing is also very limited also. So basically, we're kind of deaf, dumb, and blind, sort of. It's not a good position to be in. And I know there's ways to go beyond that, but like
deaf, dumb, and blind. I like that.
It's not, yeah. Yeah, like Tommy, the opera, right?
Right.
Sure. But at some point, I think we have to move past that. I mean, it would be nice. It might actually be extremely beneficial, and who knows? Maybe that's why the so-called good extraterrestrials are not interacting with us directly, is because we're just incapable. And it's not even about intellect. We're just really.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people out there, they've been believing for the longest times that there is a faction of aliens out there. You know, you first heard of those channelers back in the day during the hippie era back in the 60s.
And 50s too.
And the 50s too, but they were channeling the Galactic Federation and all these other groups out there, basically relaying the same message: Earth is in trouble, humans need to watch their ass, or the things are going to go south, in other words. That's always been the underlying message from the aliens. And what I mean by that is the whole faction of aliens. What I'm trying to relay here is lots of people out there, they claim that there's a specific alien faction out there that had made deals with our own government for all kinds of different purposes. And that's why things are the way they are.
You're right. But the book that I provide for people who haven't read something beyond what Sitchin wrote is The Shining Ones. And that gives you a whole nother look at the so-called Anunnaki and how their relationship with us is ancient. And it's based on quite a few lies, or layers of lies and manipulation, not just genetic, but that they literally turned us into their slaves, and we're still there. And I heard Daniel Sheehan talking about this the other day. He says, yeah, if they wanted to, they could just land and talk to us, and then the secrecy would be over. But they don't want to do that. I'm like, okay, well, so whose fault is that, Daniel? You know,
right.
Are you going to blame us? It's like, oh, yeah, we were asking to be raped. It's like, so it's just, it's a really goofy situation that we're in right now, but I do think it's incumbent upon us to at least make an effort individually and collectively, because we're in another election year, which I find farcical, honestly. I just, like religion, I'm not political because I just don't see a benefit to it. I know everybody thinks it's essential to have centralized government, but it's again, if we're being puppeted from another dimension that is literally all around us.
And that's what a lot of people claim.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's in the book, The Shining Ones. It says that they don't come from another planet. They come from another
dimension of sorts. Yeah. And by the way, that's what's also talked about by that guy, the hippie from back in the day, the Sheldon Idol. That's actually more in the that happened in the early 90s, rather.
Mm. Yeah, that too. Yeah, it's been, I know people talk about it, but actually quantifying it is very difficult, especially in a public way, because if our officials are, it kind of makes sense too, because they're in total denial about just about everything, especially when it comes to this so-called alien question and advanced technologies, and they just cannot be honest about anything. And why would I take it seriously?
Yeah.
I don't want to invest my time or my reputation or my soul into thinking that, or feeling like, oh, it's, blue team versus red team. Come on.
No, it's a much more complex than that.
It is. It is. And so what the heck can we do about it? Is, first of all, I've said this before about being calm, kind, creative, and courageous, but increasing one's resonance is fine. But the fact is, if you're still on a battlefield, that's a problem. And whatever you can do, and I'm speaking from experience now, because I went through some crazy times during the holidays, disengage from the dark side. They really want us to engage with them on combat, And if it is just distraction or, you know, and the main thing is they have to keep us divided. That's how we remain conquered. But they really, really are focused on pissing us off a lot of the times so that we cannot just relax and be happy and healthy. So disengaging from that means, for me anyway, I had to take a complete break from
everything.
But especially the internet, because I don't watch TV, or especially not the news.
Why would you?
Officials. Yeah. Right. I don't like being lied to or manipulated. But so the main thing was I started listening to comedy a lot because at least, yeah, a lot of it's stupid. But
sure.
At least when I had a little downtime, it was a way of disengaging from the dark side, because criminals don't do stand-up comedy, right? I mean, not that I know of, right?
Yeah.
They don't have the capacity to just joke around and make people feel good, because when you laugh, it's hard to be pissed. It's actually almost impossible to be pissed off if you're laughing a lot.
That's true. It's better to be pissed off than to be pissed on.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, there was a Star Trek like that, when something about the Archons.
Uh-huh.
And Captain Kirk figured it out. Oh, they were trying to make the Star Trek guy, Enterprise guys were fighting with the Vulcans or something, whatever, Klingons. And they were, finally Kirk says, you know what? We just have to laugh at them. You know, like you and I, we're going to work together against this common enemy. And it was pretty damn funny. The way they figured it out was, we're just not going to give in. We're not going to do what you want, which is to keep fighting each other. We're going to become friends, and we're just going to laugh at you because you're so stupid.
Right.
This is your whole existence is to make us pissed off and fight. Yeah. It was an interesting episode.
That's right. And TV, another great example of the mind parasite.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it all begins, too.
Well, Hollywood in general is, I've said this probably too many times.
I think even the book also mentions Hollywood.
Which one?
The spiritual warfare.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in the last chapter there.
Most people think Hollywood is about entertainment, but it's actually about entrainment, which means to control someone's mind or thoughts or emotions. And like you're on a train, you know, when you get on a train, you're not driving a damn train. You're just going somewhere. Well, that's what it's like. They basically get you to, it's like, oh, come with us. Let's go on a fantasy adventure. It's called a movie. And you know, or whatever, sitcom.
Yeah, and that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
In real time. Yeah, we're just here for the ride.
Basically. Well, I mean, look, obviously we're learning something.
We are learning something, but going back to what you were saying about voting and the election, I want to ask you this. Do you actually believe in the validity of voting for a sitting president to any capacity?
Well, obviously it's rigged like everything else.
Yeah, right.
Even prior to all this other nonsense, you know, people just kind of got wise to it because it was so blatant. And that's not new. It's just the level of technology and the
right.
It's so obvious now. Everything. And I was shown that back in 2013 that everything was going to be revealed. I didn't realize, though, that the dark side itself was going to come out of the closet because it was. It felt desperate, you know. This phrase, oh, they double down. Well, they keep doubling down, and it just isn't working because more and more of us are waking up, and we can see right through the lies, like, you know, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. The curtain has been pulled back.
It really has, and some people really believe in this, though. they believe their vote actually counts, and
yeah,
they'll guilt trip you for it too.
Yeah, but less and less. That's it.
Right.
Okay, so then what? Can we self-govern? Well, you have to want to do it, first of all. Some people say live off the grid. Yeah, yeah, but you're still within a nation, within a county, within a city.
I'm not trying to live off the grid, by the way.
No, I know. I'm just saying if you...
I know. But I just want the people to know that, yeah. Really? Yeah, how could you disengage? This is true. That's why I always talk to people that claim to be an anarchist, yet they have a Netflix account. They have a, you know, you can get the point. But yeah, it's a little ridiculous, Robert. I know. I totally get what you're saying. But you know how some people are out there.
It's okay. It's all right. We're all suffering to some degree of parasitism. I think that's the word, or possession. And, you know, the saying that possession is 9/10 of the law. And I'm going to say most of us are possessed. It's right. By something or some group. I loosely always refer to them as the dark side, that feel that we're their property. So if they can claim possession of us within their system, and because it is their system, you know, Christians say the God of this world is Satan, which just translates to adversary. Adversary what? God, obviously. So the adversary of God is ruling this world, and we're supposed to somehow vote our way out of that? Not at the polling place, not at that freaking polling place, because that's rigged. And so where do you go? You're going to go to church? Well, okay, if that works for you, fine. I mean, do you really feel liberated? I mean, have you found sovereignty spiritually by going and following an organized religion that says all other religion is wrong? I mean, that's that right there is dystopia. It they're sowing the seeds of discontent, all of them, in my opinion, if they do that. If they can't be inclusive and find unity, then it's a fault. It's just false. That's my opinion. That's why I don't participate.
No, I get you. I always come at it from a different angle, though, because, you know, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a liberal. I'm not anything.
Are you conservative?
No.
Okay.
I'm nothing. I don't represent any sort of organization to any varying degree. I have no allegiance to any of them. I'm an outsider to that sort of world. Okay. And quite frankly, I don't want to be a part of that world. Yeah. I got to be honest. It's interesting to talk about, but in the end, it's just a form of mental masturbation, just like everything else is here in the spectrum of talk.
Well, it's also a form of mind control, because if it gets you that to too. Remain divided from your neighbor or your family or whatever, or a nation, a whole nation is divided now, polarized like never before, because, you know, it's, well...
Oh,
they've
I
got
know.
All kinds of reasons for it, but none of that stuff. So a phrase that goes out a lot is if they didn't have double standards, they'd have none at all. And I think that applies to both parties are corrupt. You know, there's some good people in both parties, just like there's good people in the Pentagon, but the Pentagon in general is totally corrupt.
Right.
You know, and all the government military contractors.
I think people are starting to see that now.
Yeah. Well, some people more than ever, because obviously the internet, shows like this, we can discuss it for now.
Right, for now.
But, man, okay, so if they can't have their way, they're not just going to give up. They have contingency plans. The dark side is really... obsessed, committed to their path. They don't have a plan B, as far as I'm concerned. I haven't seen it. They're not going to suddenly grow a conscience or find their empathy or whatever. So this thing about Skynet, you know, again, we keep referencing movies.
It's because, real, though. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's called predictive programming for a reason, because they're basically conditioning the public to like, oh, well, yeah, artificial intelligence with, you know, robots that are for the military or whatever. Oh, that's fiction. Yes, it is until it isn't, you know, and it's way further along than most people realize, because a lot of that stuff is off the books. It's black budget. They right. can't admit it because, well, they use stolen funds, or what they call, they call it misappropriated. It's a nice way of saying
it. It's a great way of, that's cute.
Yeah, well, that's their terminology, not mine. Just, but anyway, they do have technology that's really advanced. Like, it can read your mind.
That's right.
Mind, And which is, again, it's all part of the psychological warfare, is part of the spiritual warfare, and ultimately reaches down into the physical. And that's usually where most people dwell and don't look beyond that. So this conversation, I wasn't expecting to have it quite yet, because I'm putting together this three articles that are all related. So there'll be links. Every article page will link to the other if you want to, if you really want to go and see the different dynamics, because it's a multi-layered thing. It's interdimensional. We are interdimensional beings. Most of us don't know that. Therefore, we don't act accordingly. So we're extremely vulnerable to manipulation. But it's got to end at some point, in my opinion.
Right.
And it's not going to come from politicians.
No.
Or priests, or God forbid, lawyers.
No, they need all these things. Those people you mentioned, they need the television. And yeah. I got to say, what a time to be alive, though, Robert. AI is getting better and better each and every month. Yeah. And of course, Putin is back to threatening a nuclear holocaust again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we both know that wouldn't end well for our Russian friend.
Mm.
We've got much more advanced weaponry than they do, even though they claim that they have more modern. And he kept emphasizing the word modern. Technology, but you know, we have things up our sleeve that they have no idea even exist.
Well, yeah, even the public doesn't, like I said,
that it's too.
It's compartmental, what they call special access programs. It's not just flying saucers or whatever these things are. They're not really saucers, but
right.
Anyway, the advanced, truly advanced aerospace program, obviously, they have weapon systems. And like I was saying before, if you could. All right, so you've got a weapon, but if you can read your enemy's thoughts,
that's next level.
They are, if they cannot read yours, well, then you've got the high ground for sure. And, you know, as far as militarily, that's, yeah. And that's one of the reasons they're not going to admit it. And I'm sure this is why they cannot go forward with so-called disclosure. Because it's going to open a whole Pandora's box of revelations of, you know, some people say med beds and all that crap.
I don't believe that either. But we do have a weird history as well. I mean, you could just look at the Stargate Project for a good example. I mean, what was that? What was that about? I mean, you just mentioned the whole knowing what your enemy is going to do. And that's pretty much what our government was trying to do back in 78.
Yep. Yeah.
Pretty wild. They're still doing it, yeah.
Yeah, but I think they've succeeded. Okay, the other thing is weird is it's back in the news is that flight MH370, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Malaysian flight that disappeared, nobody could find the wreckage or the, you know, the dead bodies. I think I did send you that. Different people.
There was a guy, you did.
I think Forbes. His last name is Forbes. I don't know if he's related, but somebody leaked a military satellite imagery to him of the flight being shadowed by orbs or spherical something or others, and also that they were doing an infrared scan of the plane.
I saw that, yeah.
Something hot in there. He said it was lithium batteries. I totally disagree, but it I think it was nuclear or something similar to that, and that they were doing. I wouldn't even call it an experiment. They were testing. They were testing some very
seemed
advanced
like
stuff.
Some sort of weapon or teleportation.
Yeah, it's
device
a
teleportation.
Well, okay, we don't know for sure where they went, but it was. my guess is it was not here or now.
Right.
It could have been anywhere at any time.
Yeah, they're gone though. That's what we know.
Yeah, but they
long gone.
The video that was leaked is astonishing because it's just like the stuff that was photographed over Washington, D.C. in my investigation of Washington, D.C. is that these things, the military has known about this for a long time, but it's
right.
in the 50s, they were literally watching them disappear off radar and visually and then popping back in to our airspace. And there's no way to do that unless you're using a wormhole or whatever you want to call it, portal, Stargate, Einstein-Rosen bridge, I don't care, whatever. It's a transportation technology that supposedly we are working on. Whether or not we have it or not, I don't know. maybe they got vaporized too, but it really looked interesting the way they went into this white, not a cloud. It's like just a field of energy.
That's what in front
of the craft, and then they just poofed out. Wow. They just poofed out, man. They just went in there and were gone.
It's pretty mysterious.
Well, so I don't know why they're bringing it up again, unless they just need to, it's a way of deflecting the...
Possibly, yeah.
Because damage control. That guy's information went viral, and a lot of people, so what? I mean, it's like, what are you going to do about it? It's like a dog chasing a car.
Yeah, I can't really do much.
No. Look, I'm almost sure I know what happened, but the bigger question is why they would do that with all the civilians on board. Ah, yes, there were scientists there with top secret, technology. But it caused a huge controversy. All eyes were looking for that thing, couldn't find it. I doubt they ever will. And if they do, they're never going to tell us the truth. Obviously, it does seem like damage control, but in a very strange way.
It's a very, very strange case and circumstance. There's a lot of news about that, and yes, go look that up yourself, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know more about that. And obviously, we're never going to truly know the whole story, and that's the problem. We don't really get all the facts. Even the main stories are full of nonsense. I was going to say another word, but you get the point. And you know, we've got such advanced weaponry, and of course we have plenty that's powered by AI these days, drones that have been engineered to kill certain people and targets. The article you recently sent me was quite fascinating, but that one, of course, specifically was not made by someone that's a part of our own government, and that was already loaded with like AI facial recognition, and that was created for a video game, according to the article. But in the end, we kind of all recognized how easy it would be for a terrorist to basically utilize these things. And I agreed with him. But a commercial drone can be programmed to do a lot of crazy things. And these are just one of the many tools out there that anyone can use. But again, no match for what the government has. And I have to remind people of that just in case anyone thinks they can go heads up against them, like in, let's say, like a Waco, Texas situation, Robert. Yeah. It's out of control. Some people out there online, though, that, you know, they're very gung-ho and they're saying, well, come here, you know, we're going to, if the police comes or, you know, the feds come, they're going to have to deal with me. And I'm just thinking, Lord, you know, they're just going to send in a drone and wipe your ass out.
Well, they don't even have to get that close. They've got beam weapons.
Well, that too.
You know, they can target you remotely from with, you know, your cell phones and any other electronics.
If it gets to that point, satellites. That is.
Yeah, well, if they feel that there is a group of targets that they want to eliminate, they don't even have to get close.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. And I forget the lady that, she was, I think, married to General Stubblebine. But anyway, she said, that's stupid because they can melt your eyeballs from a mile away.
Damn.
Yeah, it's just, and I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's not funny. It's just like, come on, that's not even a contest. When a faux Biden.
Well, I mean, that is kind of funny, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's where those people and they live were from. They survived that kind of stuff. But they kind of look like it. They're missing some facial features there. But so, you know, when our fake president was saying something about, you want to take us on, we've got F-16s or something. And you're bringing up a good point. Well, they got a lot more than that. And of course they're not going to say it, but if it really push comes to shove, then, so replacement migration is a real problem. Some people say it's an invasion. I don't know. We're all here on the same planet, but yeah, they're not following the rules. They're being, brought in intentionally by the United Nations, and which is, to me, is a satanic operation.
Right.
It always has been, always will be. So I'm not surprised by anything like that. But the problem is a lot of these so-called immigrants are now, that are military age, are being brought into like either the military, our military, or their police departments, like in Los Angeles, are hiring them, which I find
they're hiring them.
It's extremely offensive, to say the least, because they broke the law to get into the country, and now they're enforcing our laws. I mean,
really,
that's just like I said. If they didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any. It's just next level deception, and it's delusional too. I mean, come on, everybody that looks at this that has half a brain left, they're saying this is not just illogical. This is completely illegal, immoral, unethical, and the problem is how do we resolve it, because it's so systemic. I'm not sure it can be.
Yeah, so, I'm not quite sure how we're gonna come to a solution for this. I mean, this has been an issue for the longest time.
Yeah, okay.
Since right. I was like in school.
No, it goes way thousands of years.
Well, even longer than that. But I mean, I'm referring to just as being a little kid and seeing this sort of thing be such an issue for the longest time, and no one after all these years has come up with any kind of valid solution to this issue. But well, I mean, everybody wants to come to America, let's be honest.
Yeah, I know, but you can't look.
But I'm not saying let's all bring them all in. That's not definitely not what I.
No, I understand, but in here, but you could try and get into any country like that.
Oh yeah,
it's not, you're going to get kicked out or
it's not even the same. Yeah,
yeah. They wouldn't. When I was in Hong Kong, I had to have a visa, and when I tried to get a visa to go in the mainland, they said no, we don't want you in here, because I said something about journalists. And that's a kiss of death. I didn't realize that at the time. Whatever, you know, I'm just saying you can't do that. And in fact, you can't even get a visa to leave China unless the government wants you to. And the fact that there's so many of them are getting in, like they have disposable income and visas and stuff that they can go directly to Central America and then trek all the way up into United States from Central America. That's just, yeah, it's all organized. And it's because if I understand this correctly, our loyal patriotic military would not fire on its own citizens, even if they were ordered to by whomever in the Pentagon or at the White House. So you bring in military age people who would be willing to do whatever because they've been granted citizenship for their service in the military.
Mm.
And that's legal. It's not ethical, but whatever. That's a part of the equation. Then if you can bring in on top of that, and it's all over the news. I think I sent you some of it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's not just the killer drones. It's also the, hang on, let me see if I can find what I showed you. Nope, can't. Anyway, they look like regular military aircraft, but they're flown by artificial intelligence.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, there's those a lot of like, yeah, that's been
Do they call those drones too? I don't
they
think
they do
so.
Actually do.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, well that's really
Predator
confusing.
Drones. They're fully autonomous.
Okay, yeah, but I mean they look The ones I thought I sent you was they look just like regular military. In other words, they would fly in formation with aircraft that are piloted, but these are not piloted
by
humans.
Right.
Okay, so that's not really a drone. That's a military aircraft that is. And it said it used the word Skynet. Oh, geez, I don't have my.
Well,
phone
DARPA
in front
does
of me.
Actually. They do have a Skynet in existence, by the way, which is ironic because you know people say that doesn't exist. Well, then why does DARPA have the rights to that?
Yeah.
So I mean, there is that. I mean, let's be honest. I don't know if things will ever end up like the movie Terminator, but that movie is almost like a warning, though.
A bit of a blueprint. Yeah, they call that battle plans.
The evolution of consciousness, the second coming of Christ, per se, you know, man versus the machine.
Right.
This what we're talking about. It's like what you were describing, in other words, is techno telepathy. In other words, brain computer interfaces.
Yeah.
And these things have been created long ago already. And that's what you're describing and what was in that article. But yeah, you could remotely control these basically with your brain.
Right, that was in the movie Foxfire. That I do believe exists, but the other thing is that it's just the level of development of synthetic biology and artificial intelligence is really what they're talking about is artificial life forms.
Right, that's what they're hoping for eventually. Huh. That's what's going to be around, and we have all these well, not us, but everyone else, yeah, in the black budget area. They already have these sort of humanoid robots out there.
Right.
But we're pretty much getting the breadcrumbs right now because, you know, we're already living in this dystopian society, basically. Yeah. But this is only, in my opinion, this is kind of only the beginning as to what's to come. You know, people are already walking around with the Apple Vision Pro. And those things aren't really enjoyable, according to those who use them. But mm-hmm. soon enough, we won't need to put any device in our heads that acts as that sort of thing. We already have the Neuralink implant coming soon, which is what we're talking about, brain-computer interfaces.
Yeah.
That's what all that crap is. And it's incredible, though, Robert. We are essentially playing God. But I think one of these days, it's only a matter of time before people will even ship their pets to fully, like, communicate with them.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? But people, I'm telling you, people already chip them. So this is basically the first step. The future really freaks me out, in other words, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop talking.
No, it's a good thing. I'm glad you're doing it because it's causing me to have all kinds of thoughts.
I already got anxiety thinking about this.
Again, though, that doesn't help you or anybody. If you got to remain, well, you don't have to, but it helps if you're
in a good way. Calm. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, that's good. I know. Well, you're doing, but you're being proactive.
It's crazy to me.
It is. It's a form of insanity. Yes, this world, this universe is anything but normal. It's it's abnormal. So the synthetic biology is one thing, but it's when you combine it with artificial intelligence, it becomes a synthetic or artificial life form, and the Neuralink is not necessary. We can communicate with these things without it, but if you really want to interface fully, it's just simply breathe the smart dust and you're in. Or take an injection. You don't need to have something implanted in your brain, man. I'm telling you, that's not how it works. In fact, I think it's a huge distraction. I think we talked about Musk before. To me, he seems like just a con man.
Well, he is. I mean, he didn't really create Tesla or anything. He just bought it.
Yeah. Same with Gates. He's just a useful idiot. That supposedly is a genius, but he acts like an idiot that has all this money or more dollars than cents, I think is what I used to say about people like that. But
right.
they're just puppets. And that's what goes back to this whole thing about spiritual warfare. How many of the so-called oligarchs or geniuses or whatever, world leaders, are actually... Right. Yeah, they're just puppets that are manipulating the masses.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's a big problem. And again, I don't have all the answers, but at least we can talk about the problem and hopefully find some way to overcome it. And if nothing else, I really feel, it worked for me during the time when I was recovering from a serious case of sciatica.
Right.
And was unable to sleep for 2 or 3 weeks.
Isn't that fun?
It's amazing what happens with your brain when that happens. But anyway, I realized that the only way to fix it was to disengage. And obviously I can't do it 100%, but whatever degree I could disengage from the dark side,
it's healthy to do so.
Yeah, it allowed me to heal.
Yeah.
And become stronger from the healing and a little more resilient. Because, you know, it's like everybody knows what's at this point. They should know what the game that's being played. But you become more sensitive to it once you've recovered from it. And you build up an immunity to it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. You sort of have to, people like myself, you and others, you know, we have to sort of read a lot of things that are going on and
Yeah.
Sort of a talk about these sort of things. And of course, some people out there will overreact, and that's when the issues occur. That's when they start acting out. And that's the problem.
That it is part of the, but it's a process. It's a protocol that was set in place by the dark side to keep us divided, distracted, and ultimately useful to them. So this is an important conversation we're having for people that are starting to realize that it's futile to try and fight with the dark side, because there's no way to win. They're not going to negotiate for peace. You know, peace and prosperity is not part of their lexicon. That's not their purview of life. They're parasitic.
Right. And this all ties into the whole transhumanism agenda that we are currently facing right now. So this is the spiritual battle that's you're describing.
Yeah, it has evolved to this point now where they are at least out in the open saying, yeah, we're going to use technology to enslave everybody permanently forever, and you'll be happy about it. No, I don't think so. Well, some people might. I'm not, and you, I don't think you will. But
let's be honest. It's exciting.